dalam kemudian mengukur kualitas, tetapi itu kan juga ada syaratnya. Jadi angklung itu dievaluasi oleh UNESCO. Kalau nanti evaluasi,
so it is true, on one side we are proud, happy with the recognition, but there are some conditions. So angklung is to be evaluated by UNESCO. If the result is negative, then the recognition will be revoked. And then the criteria are as follows. First, if angklung is mass-produced, manufactured, but second, if according to the assessment of UNESCO activities, related to angklung has dropped or even none at all.
In order to keep angklung alive and growing in West Java in particular, and in Indonesia in general, the government has initiated a lot of angklung movement. A more strategic effort actually is to make angklung-related activities in schools. So angklung now has become an extracurricular activity. Schools in Bandung now have trained their students for angklung lessons. Some headmasters have even invited professional angklung instructors to train the students and to form angklung ensembles.
The government's seriousness in maintaining, developing, and utilizing the unique art of West Java is also evidenced by the opening of a new study program in the Indonesian Art College, namely angklung and Bandung Music Studies Program, as revealed by Rector of Karawitan, Indonesian Traditional Music, who has also been appointed head of the program, Yang Sutiano.
Kemudian pemerintah juga dengan membuka salah satu prodi bambu yang
then the government has also opened a bamboo music studies program at STSI. Yes, perhaps this is also another effort. There are courses leading to bamboo music, and now there are also courses.
The head of tourism and culture of West Java province, however, says that all the efforts that have been taken by the government will not fail well, if it does not get support from other
parties.
Because I think conservation, development, and utilization of the art and culture must be done simultaneously. I conclude that choir, symphony, you know, one sound singing a song usually is not so good, but it would be so nice if the song is sung in choir together. I mean, those components are not just the government. The first is the government, the second are artists or cultural figures, the third are associations of group, including schools.
Support for preserving angklung won't be created if all are aware that angklung is fun, as received by the art of angklung, by Ukasi Nujo.
Let's create angklung awareness. Angklung is fun, not a kind of heavy music. It can be played by anyone. Why don't we try it? No problem if you don't like it. Is it possible to make everybody like it? So, just try and taste it. After that, let's pick it. I don't want a lot of people to cry and listen first. So do not always make a remark about what angklung is like before seeing it first. So open your mind. Well, it turns out that angklung is like this.
With Subus Alandayer and Rashid Bunjin to discuss enhancing digital connectivity and talent development in the region. The collaboration includes plans to utilize Satria 1 satellite and establish base transceiver stations to improve internet access, especially in remote areas. Currently, only 24 out of 82 villages in Subus Alam benefit from the digital infrastructure, highlighting the need for expanded connectivity to support education, healthcare, and government services. And the next news. The University of Indonesia and the Ministry of Transmigration have partnered to develop the Transmigration Pathway Program, aiming to engage young Indonesians in national developmental through research and education. The program features two main components, the Patriot Expedition, which involves field research and mentoring in transmigration areas, and the Patriot Scholarship, designed to produce skilled graduates for regional development. Minister Muhammad Iftikhar Sulaiman Surya Nadara emphasized the importance of university involvement in creating innovative ecosystem within transmigration zones. And that was the news.
The Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in nine language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesia. The Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz, M4755 kHz, and by streaming on VOIUS.ID. We present various programs for you. Keep on the follow. The fashion. Indonesian wonder. History. Let's speak Bahasa Indonesia. Indonesian pop and regional songs. International music and entertainment. As well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Viewers, welcome to Indonesia Today with your host Ray, where I'll be accompanying you for the next 1 hour, providing you with news, information, and also entertainment from Indonesia to the world. And listening, this beautiful day of Thursday, almost the end of the weekend, we almost reached the end of the weekend, and then we will have lots and lots of things to do. And of course, for listening, you can always tune into our program in online streaming, voinews.id, shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and also our application in RRA Digital for those of you who are watching on demand. And so without any further ado, for listening, let us begin today's broadcast, of course, with a song from Isyana Saraswati. I am Voice of Indonesia, and let us enjoy today's broadcast.
I'm sorry. others. In the warmth that touches your heart. In the wind that brings joy to your soul. It's a calling that starts you on a journey. Awakens all your senses. There's smiles and laughter, embracing and welcoming. Your heart leaps. To a land that takes you in its heritage, in the richness of its culture, in the liveliness of its people.
She's very experienced in illustrating children's books, and during the process, we had a lot of of discussion on how to convey the message without way too much text, because it's for children, so there should not be a lot of text in the page. But how can I convey emotions without having to put too much details, because again, this is for children? And we sort of brainstormed and came up with the idea of colors, because we, when we talk about emotions, when we talk about feelings, we usually use colors to explain, like, I'm feeling blue, when you're feeling sad, and when we see the color yellow, we feel happy. So we sort of want to create the idea or, like, the illustration behind that based on how we usually explain emotions, that is through colors.
Through colors for children, very bright, sorry, and talking about education, especially here in Indonesia, as we know that under the new administration of President Prabowo and Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka, we now have divided ministries, not only Ministry of Education and Culture, now we have Ministry of Culture, Ministry of Science and Technology. So what do you think about Indonesian education, and what ideas that would you like to do to deliver to develop Indonesian education more?
I think in terms of Indonesian education, I feel like we still need to put more focus on making sure that the children feel safe at school. Maybe that's also the reason why I care so much about bullying, because when a child doesn't feel safe at school, this child cannot learn, no matter how much time these children spend to learn. They still couldn't understand, because they're not feeling safe, and they always have to be in a fight or flight mode, so they're always have to be aware of their surroundings. I think that's a very fundamental thing that we need to focus on, and I think that's also the responsibility of all of us as a community where these children grow up in. So as a community, we also need to help these children to realize that they deserve to feel safe, especially in places where they're going to be learning. And a lot of bullying cases are still, a lot of bullying are still happening now, because a lot of us still normalize bullying, because we feel like, oh yeah, that's not bullying, that's just, building your mentality, or maybe helping you to be tougher in the future. Because a lot of the community are still thinking that way, then I don't think we can achieve a safe learning space for children if we don't change our mindset. So it's up to all of us, actually.
Okay, so many things to consider to realize, not only in academic way, but like you said, in terms of how we provide safe space. Very big task for the government and all of us. But what about the next project that you're thinking of to do?
For my next project, the closest one that I have, I'm going to be releasing another book about bullying in the next month, hopefully. And it's targeted more into, because like my previous book is for children, and this upcoming book is targeted for teenagers and young adults. So it's sort of like to build awareness around us about bullying that's happening, different facts, and also stories and perspectives from the point of views of the victims and also the bullies. So we sort of can see the phenomenon in 360 to understand why it's happening and how we can help to prevent and to end the tradition of bullying that's still happening in a lot of schools in Indonesia. That's my personal project. I'm very excited. I hope it can go smoothly and will be released around next month.
Looking forward to it. What would you like to say to our listeners and viewers about education, both education in Indonesia and the world?
In terms of education, we need to see education as a responsibility not only for the children who are learning, but also for all of us, because a lot of children are learning also outside of school, so it's not just about what's in the curriculum, it's also about what the children are learning from their parents, from their surroundings, from the people around them, from the media, from the influencers, from what they see on the internet, and I think we all have a responsibility to create a safe and a world where the children can learn and explore without the feeling of being judged and the feeling of, superiority.
Okay, well, Papiri, thank you so much for sharing your insights about education, because it's not merely learning books in class, listening to the teachers, beyond that, so much more than that. Hope you can always bring vibrant colors to the education field in Indonesia and the world. Thank you so much. Looking forward for the project. Thank you. Have a good day. Well, we've heard that's today's VOI talk from Writing to Classing with Wai Papiri, Indonesian writer and head of marketing Smart Tech Indonesia, the graduate of master's degree from Harvard University, whose book, The Missing Colors, is included in the curriculum of schools in the United States of America. Stay tuned for more insightful, inspiring talks on VOI talks from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
And I am digital with New York. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live with mobile apps, live radio broadcasts, music clips, podcasts, video news, and various user interaction features in the game.
culture. A world of wonder, mysteria, and magical. The life of a tribe in sync with nature. West Papua's archipelago. Richest marine biodiversity in the world. Home to majestic phantoms of the ocean.
So, this one has to
about herbs or herbal medicines? Is it an influence from other nations? Bonus bumper, public relations of a large herbal medicine industry in Indonesia located in Semarang, Sat.
Sebelum 3 months before the Chinese came, the Japanese Kingdom and other kingdoms in Indonesia had already used traditional medicine to cure illness and long, also trying the creams to look more beautiful. These traditional medicines, herbs.
The developing of traditional herb in Indonesia could not separate it from abundant of natural wealth owned by the country.
Indonesia? Indonesia has a lot of herbs and plants with best efficacious remedy. In the case of any illness, these plants will definitely be used. Many herbs have special efficacy to cure the illness.
It takes a very long process from generation to generation to get herbal formula, as we find today.
The first was through a dream or revelation. A lot happened in Indonesia or Asia. In general, one could treat the disease because he was prompted or informed in his dream that he was treating the disease with certain plants. The second is the behavior of the animals. We, the example of an animal, if it is having difficulty to defecate, then it will eat some grass and the grass turns beneficial to smooth nectarine. The third is forms or behavior of plants. There are plants in Kalimantan which, if planted in the fertile soil, it will not grow at all, but if it is planted in a stone, it will grow up well. The plant turned out to be beneficial for kidney or gallstones. And the fourth is modern technology. So it makes them old. While the dream can be proven scientifically, then the shape of the plant and animal behavior, as said earlier, go to the lab and do some research about it to find out whether it is actually useful, because not all beneficial to human life. There is definitely a certain substances that are useful for the human body.
Although using products rooted in indigenous cultures of Indonesia, according to Powell, to date, herbal drinks or medicines are only consumed in certain parts of the country.
Jamuni, this drum is circulating mostly in Java and Sumatra. For instance, it has not entered my hometown in Forest yet. Our population is big, 240 million. If everybody takes herbal drink, no need to actually go abroad, because our domestic consumers are still quite plenty.
Does not necessarily need people with traditional formula. In fact, since the last few years, many people have been using traditional medicine, or more popularly known as herbal medicines, that are considered more natural. Head of the National Commission for Herbal Medicine Scientification, the Ministry of Health, Dr. Suswanto, said,
"Sama dengan istilah herbal obat herbal, tapi yang asli Indonesia yang berbeda macam. Jamu is the same for original Indonesian herbal medicine. Yes, it is called jamu. In other countries like in Malaysia, there is also Malaysian herbal medicine. In China, it is called traditional Chinese medicine. It means Chinese herbal medicine. So it's pretty much the same. They have herbal business remedies or medicines. Every country also considers herbal medicines differently. Such as in the United States, for example, they are just incorporated in food supplement. So it is not in the FDA jurisdiction. Then in Europe, some herbal or traditional medicine is taken care of by the FDA.
Herbal itu ada sebagian yang diurus oleh artinya dalam jurisdiksi FDA.
Have been consuming traditional herbal medicine for generations. Then how is jamu different from the health or medical side? This one to explain.
Jamu yang dalam urutan tradisional itu kan sudah banyak dipakai. Jamu in the traditional sense has been what we use for generations to maintain health and to treat minor ailments. And it should remain that way. And we always maintain that culture. But on the other hand, if you want to use for health care in terms of medical jamu that can be used by doctors, it should have some scientific evidence, as said earlier. All doctors certainly have their criterion for therapeutic modality in this herbal medicine. Therefore, jamu that can be used is the one that has already had evidence and been clinically tested. Three, I mean, some traditional medicines, which actually are rather different from modern medicines. So from there, we then formulated methodology to create some sort of specific clinical path for herbal medicine, which is slightly different from modern medicine. Because modern medicine is a single, say, paracetamol, it contains paracetamol only, yes. But jamu consists of various herbs, right, mixed with different types of plants, which one also contains other components. That's why we set up a different method of clinical tests. Through empirical evidence in our people, we conduct the clinical tests of case 2 and 3. We have done 2 formulas that have been clinically tested. First, herbal medicine for dogs, and the second is the formula for lowering blood pressure or hypertension. The research has not only been done by the Herbal Certification Agency, but also by other research institutions, such as universities and others.
It is not impossible that jamu, as an ancestral heritage of Indonesia, can be combined with modern medical treatment.
Kita, jamu ini mau kita angkat, mulanya ada program namanya Sandika. Our adults, we want to live on this jamu. So there is a program called Sanctification Herbal Medicine, you're right? Now, in the future, this jamu can actually go through 2 ways. Jamu that has, say, clinical evidence that can treat out 2 phase 3 clinical tests, and then the POM agency agrees. Now, it could go in the medical world, but jamu within the traditional sense, that is, to maintain health and so on, will be directed towards jamu for maintaining health. We are working to build a separate profession from physicians or medical profession called on traditional Indonesian than we have, or healer, or healthcare. This is still an idol and ambition.
Although it is still limited, the development of herbal medicine in the country has been making progress. This one will once again set.
I told you this jamu does not have any such evidence yet, so doctors would mind if they are being asked to use it directly. To make such a breakthrough, well, traditional medicine clinics have been opened in various hospitals which allow herbal medicines, but still within the framework of research. So it's called research-based service. What does it mean? Well, use herbal medicine if you want, but please, it is still in the corridor of research. And this already exists in several hospitals in Indonesia, particularly hospitals under the health ministry.